إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونشكره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له الحمد لله الذي فرض الحج وجعل له ميزة ليس في غيره من الفرائض فمن كان حجه مبرورا رجع كيوم ولدته أمه فكان ذنبه مغفورا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ولا مثيل له ليس كمثله شيء ولا يشبهه شيء مهما تصورت ببالك فالله لا يشبه ذلك وأشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا محمدا عبده ورسوله وصفيه وحبيبه من بعثه الله رحمة للعالمين هاديا ومبشرا ونذيرا فصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى كل رسول أرسله أما بعد عباد الله فإني أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله يقول الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه ولله على الناس حج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيلا ويقول الحج أشهر معلومات فمن فرض فيهن الحج فلا رفث ولا فسوق ولا جدال في الحج وما تفعلوا من خير يعلمه الله وتزودوا فإن خير الزاد التقوى واتقون يا أولي الألباب فالله تبارك وتعالى فرض علينا الحج على المستطيع منا فهو فرض بالإجماع على المسلم إذا كان حرا بالغا عاقلا مستطيعا. Dear brothers, since we are approaching the month of Al-Hajj, let it be known that performing Al-Hajj is an obligation upon the one who is able, and this is by ijma', by consensus. That is, every accountable Muslim that is free, pubescent, and was sane and able is obligated to perform Al-Hajj. So if you, dear brother, were able to go and perform Al-Hajj and had enough money to fulfill your needs and the needs of those whom you are obligated to spend on during your trip to Al-Hajj and back, then you are obligated to perform Al-Hajj. Then you are able. And if you are able, then you have to perform Al-Hajj. As for the one who is not able, because he does not have enough money to make it to the trip, or he has money to make it to Al-Hajj, but he does not have enough money for his obligatory spending, for his wife, for his children, the young children, then this person is unable to perform Al-Hajj, therefore it is not obligatory on him in this case. But if he is able, then he is obligated to go and perform Al-Hajj. فَإِنْ عَزَمْتَ عَلَى الْحَجِّ فَاعْلَمْ أَنَّ لِلْحَجِّ شُرُوطًا وَأَرْكَانًا وَوَاجِبَاتٍ وَمُحَرَّمَاتٍ. So if you determine to do Al-Hajj, then know that Hajj, performing Hajj, or the Hajj itself has shurut, conditions, arkan, integrals, wajibat, requisites, and muharramat, prohibitions. So the one who is performing Al-Hajj, he is obligated to go and learn about these matters before he starts involving himself in them. Because the scholars of Islam said, أَنَّهُ يَجِبُ عَلَى مَنْ أَرَادَ الدُّخُولَ فِي شَيْءٍ أَنْ يَعْلَمَ ما يحل منه وما يحرم قبل الدخول فيه. So the scholars, they said that it is obligatory upon the person before getting involved in a matter, until he knows what is permissible about it and what is forbidden before he starts this matter. You cannot start it if you said, I don't know if it's halal or haram. You cannot get involved in it until you know. We ask Allah Ta'ala to make us knowledgeable about the religion. وَيَجِبُ تَعَلُّمُ هَذِهِ الْأُمُورِ عِنْدَ أَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ وَلَيْسَ بِمُجَرَّدِ مُطَالَعَةِ الْكُتُبِ. And to acquire this knowledge, it must be by taking it from the teachers of knowledge, from its people. Directly taking this ilm from its people, from the teachers. And not by flipping pages and looking into the books. Otherwise, you will be misled and misguided. How many people read books and they ended up misguided? Many. They ended up misguided and misguiding others. Like this person who's reading a book about Al-Hajj, and in the book he said, they saw him in Al-Hajj holding, carrying a knife and a mouse with him. And when they saw him, they asked him, what are you doing? He said, well, that's what I read in the books of the Hajj, that when you go to Al-Hajj, he said, have with you sakinatin wa waqar. He read it as sakinatin wa far. In Arabic, he basically added one shadda to the first word and removed a dot from the second word. And it actually means have respect and tranquility. But if you take these things, you take that dot and you take that shadda away, it would mean take a knife with you and take a mouse. So he read it wrongly and he went to the Hajj with these things because he did not acquire his knowledge properly. So how many people even ended up doing way beyond that from ignorant acts? All of that is because they did not acquire the Islamic knowledge properly the way it is supposed to be acquired. وها نحن اليوم في أشهر الحج وآلاف من المسلمين يتهيئون لزيارة البيت الحرام وقلوبهم مشتاقة للحبيب المصطفى صلى الله عليه وسلم. And now since we are approaching the months of the blessed Hajj and thousands of Muslims are getting prepared to perform al-Hajj and to visit their beloved Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, our khutbah will be about performing the Hajj the proper way. الحج إخوة الإيمان له ستة أركان. The Hajj, dear brothers, has six integrals. You have to perform all six. If you leave one of them, your Hajj is not valid. If you leave one of them, your Hajj is incomplete. And many consequences result. أول هذه الأركان الإحرام, وذلك كأن تقول في قلبك أدخل في عمل الحج أو نويت الحج وأحرمت به لله. The first thing is to have the niyya, the intention of ihram, such as saying, I now start the acts of Hajj and Umrah. For example, Allah تبارك وتعالى said, الحج أشهر معلومات. And this ayah, Allah Ta'ala specified that the niyyah of ihram must be in the months of al-Hajj. And they are Shawwal, Dhul-Qa'dah, and the 10 nights of Dhul-Hijjah. So whoever made his niyyah prior to that, then his niyyah is not considered Hajj. If he made niyyah of ihram before these times, then that niyyah would be considered as Umrah and not Hajj. Because the Hajj has to be within this period, as Allah mentioned in Al-Quran. So the first thing in Al-Hajj is Al-Ihram, to have the Niyyah to do Al-Hajj or the Umrah. The second integral, Al-Rukn al-Thani min Arkan al-Hajj, huwa an yakun al-Hajj fi juz'in min ardi Arafah, walau li lahza min zawali shamsi yawmi Arafah ila fajri laylat al-Eid. So the second integral is to be on Arafah. And to be on Arafah, there has to be a time that you have to meet. Either you stay on it for a moment or you pass through it, as long as you do it within the specified time, which is after Dhuhr, from the day of Arafah until the Fajr of Al-Eid the next day. So any time in between that, that is when the person can stand on Arafah. And he can do it while sleeping, he can do it while riding, he can do it while passing by. He doesn't have to stay over or stay at Arafah. The minimum is to be at Arafah at least for a moment during the time I mentioned. والركن الثالث من أركان الحج الطواف بالبيت. The third integral is to do the tawaf around the Kaaba. Well, Kaaba is called al-Bayt al-Haram, the house of Allah or the house of worship of Allah. It does not mean that Allah is inside of it. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. Allah is neither inside the Kaaba nor inside the skies, because Allah Ta'ala is not contained in a place nor a direction. Allah Ta'ala exists without a beginning, without an end, and without a place. He existed before the creations. But we call it the house of worship of Allah Ta'ala because the believers, they worship Allah in it. So tawaf is the third integral, and that is by going around the Kaaba 7 times with your left shoulder towards the Kaaba. Also among the, in order for the tawaf to be valid, you are obligated, there are conditions. And among these conditions is you have to cover your awrah, you have to have tahara from the hadathain. So basically you have to have tahara from the najasa, you have to have your wudu, and you have to cover your awrah, as I mentioned. These are considered among the conditions. Just like as-salat has conditions, just like when you pray, you cover your awrah, you have tahara, and so on. Likewise, at-tawaf. The only difference is, so tawaf is similar to as-salah, except you are permitted to speak in it with other people. You are allowed to talk in during at-tawaf. But you should be making dhikr during that time. But it's not haram to talk, to mingle, or to talk to other people during tawaf. والركن الرابع من أركان الحج السعي سبعا بين الصفا والمروة. And the fourth integral of performing al-hajj is to do the sa'i, to do the walk between the Safa and the Marwa. They were originally two mountains. So to do the sa'i is to walk between each of them 7 times. One way is considered one walk, then going back is the second, and so on. Now the boundaries of the mas'a have been specified by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if Prophet Muhammad specified that this is the boundary of the Safa and Marwa, where do we do sa'i? Within the boundaries where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam specified. You don't come up with something new against what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. You don't come with a new bid'ah and innovate a new path, claiming that it's making it easier for the hujjaj. Therefore, it is not valid to perform sa'i in the new lanes that have been reconstructed recently. Nowadays, they just made new lanes outside of the boundaries that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam specified. So basically, you go one way in the correct lane, then your return is in the boundary outside of the mas'a. They expanded it, they widened it to go outside of the boundaries that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made. And unfortunately and very sadly, a lot of people have been unnoticeably following this way, and they're doing their sa'i wrongly. The one who wants his sa'i to be done properly and accepted, he should continue using the old mas'a. So the old path, either in the upper or the lower level, and continue his going and back on the same old mas'a in order for him to do the proper sa'i in the boundaries that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam specified. And this is a must by ijma'. It is not a matter of opinion or difference of opinion among the scholars. It's by ijma' that you cannot do sa'i outside of the boundaries that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam specified. والركن الخامس من أركان الحج هو الحلق أو التقصير. So the fifth integral is to shave the hair or to trim it. For the men, it is sunnah to shave, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hadith said, "Allahumma ghafir lil muhalliqin." Three times he said, "Oh Allah, forgive to the hujjaj that shave the hair." And then they asked him, what about those who trim the hair? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on the third time he said, and to those who trim. So it is better to shave the hair for the men. As for the women, they don't shave the hair. They trim a little bit from their hair. And that will be sufficient. And it's sunnah to shave the hair with al-musa, with a sharp edge, as they used to back in time. But beware, dear brother, that you are not allowed to shave or trim or pull out any of your hair before the second half of the night of Al-Eid. Before the second half of the night of Al-Eid, then this is not allowed. And we will talk about the prohibitions of Al-Hajj, inshallah, at the end. As for the sixth integral of Al-Hajj, Al-Rukn al-Sadis, هو الترتيب في معظم الأركان. It is to keep the order in most of the integrals that we mentioned. Because you have to start with the intention, that's the first thing. And then you can delay the tawaf or the shaving or the trimming from wukuf in Arafah, from the standing or being on Arafah. وَلِلْحَجِّ إِخْوَةُ الْإِيمَانِ واجبات من تركها أثم لكن لا يفسد تركها حجه بل تلزمه فدية. As for the Hajj, dear brothers, now we talked about the six integrals of Al-Hajj. Also Al-Hajj has requisites. You might call them obligations, but they are required. They are part of doing Al-Hajj. However, if you missed one of them, the Hajj is still valid, but you are sinful and you have to pay fidya because you missed some of these obligations. Among them is to do the niyyah of ihram from the proper miqat, from the proper position that belongs to you, because certain countries have certain miqat, a starting point where they make the niyyah. You don't make your niyyah in Calgary, then you start flying into the Hajj or the Umrah. You have to start before the miqat. Otherwise, if you start your niyyah now, then you are muhrim. You are prohibited from doing whatever the Hajj is prohibited from doing. So that's why you do it right before the miqat, your proper miqat. And the one who needs to know these details will seek them from the teachers, inshaAllah ta'ala. So also among the obligations is to stay over in Muzdalifah, even for a short time, or to sleep or spend the night in Mina most of the time, most of the night. This is according to one saying, and according to another saying, to stay over most of the night is only sunnah. وَمِمَّا يَجِبُ عَلَى الْحَاجِ رَمْيُ جَمَرَةِ الْعَقَبَةِ. Also among what is obligated upon the Hajj is to throw the pebbles. Throwing the pebbles also have rules and have details. يَرْمِي سَبْعَ حَصَيَاتِ وَيَدْخُلُ وَقْتُهَا بِمُنْتَصَفِ لَيْلَةِ الْعِيدِ. He will throw seven pebbles. And the time of throwing the pebbles begins after the midnight of Al-Eid, the Islamic midnight of the Eid. He does not throw the pebbles before that. If he did, it's not valid. Then after that, in every day from the days of Tashriq, which are 3 days, in every day, which are the 11th, the 12th, and the 13th of Dhul-Hijjah, he will throw also pebbles in three different stations, three different places. Now, some people, unfortunately, when you go there, you will discover amazing wonders, subhanallah. Some people, they actually think that the devil lives there, so they start throwing him with more than pebbles. Some of them, they take their shoes off and throw. That's not valid. That is because they lack knowledge, subhanallah. It's actually what happened is, Shaytan appeared in those three different places, and Ibrahim alayhi salam threw him with pebbles. So we follow the sunnah of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and to show that we oppose the devil, we do the same as Ibrahim alayhi salam did. But it does not mean that the devil is living there. Wal-iyadu billahi ta'ala. So the person needs to know before he does any of these actions. And in every time he goes to throw the pebbles, he has to throw seven different pebbles. Yani seven pebbles. He does not throw them all at once. He will throw one at a time as well. If he threw them all at once, then this is not considered as seven pebbles. وَعَلَمْ أَخِي الْحَاجِ أَنَّهُ يَحْرُمُ عَلَى الْمُحْرِمِ أَشْيَاءَ حَالَ إِحْرَامِهِ مِنْهَا التَّطَيُّبِ. Also know, dear brother, that among the things that are prohibited, haram, for the person who's doing hajj to do, are certain things. You are not allowed to do certain things. It's haram for you to do them. Among these things is to put fragrance or perfume on yourself during ihram. This is prohibited, haram. You cannot do that. Or to put, whether you put the perfume on your body, your skin, your clothes, or the like, this is haram. Also to anoint your head with oil or the like, this is also prohibited. Or the beard, this is also prohibited. Also among the prohibitions for the one doing Hajj or Umrah is to remove the nails, his fingernails, or to remove his hair, pulling his hair out, this is also haram. وَيَحْرُمُ عَلَيْهِ أَيْضًا إزالة ظفر وشعر ويحرم القبلة والنظر واللمس والمعانقة بشهوة ولو لزوجته. Also it's prohibited for the one in ihram to have the kiss, the look, the touch, the hug with a desire even to his wife. This is haram during ihram. كما أنه يحرم على الرجل لبس ما يحيط ببدنه بنحو خياطة كالقميص والسروال مثلا. Also the muhrim, the one who's doing the ihram, he is not allowed to wear what is sewn, like the sewn clothes, like your shirt, your t-shirt or pants. You cannot wear that. That's why there are clothes of ihram. As for the woman, she is allowed to wear what is sewn, like the pants or the like. However, she is prohibited from covering her face and from wearing gloves on her hands. She's not allowed to do that during al-ihram. وَكَذَلِكَ أَخِي الْمُسْلِمِ انْتَبِهْ فَإِنَّ الْجِمَاعَ حَرَامٌ عَلَى الْمُحْرِمِ حَتَّى يَتَحَلَّلَ مِنْ إِحْرَامِهِ تَحَلُّلًا تَامًّا. Also, let it be known that jima', intercourse, is prohibited for the one who is in ihram until he does a full tahallul, and that is by doing the obligatory tawaf, by throwing the pebbles of al-aqaba, and by doing shaving the hair or trimming the hair. And if he did jima', if he did intercourse before that, before doing two of these things, then he disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He nullified his hajj, invalidated his hajj. He is obligated to continue that hajj that he's doing, although it is invalid. And he is obligated to make it up the next year. And on top of all of that, because of the intercourse that he did, he also has to slaughter a she-camel, a female camel, and feed it to the poor people of Al-Haram. All of that because of that action that he committed. وَيَحْرُمُ عَلَى الْمُحْرِمِ أَيْضًا صيد المأكول البري والوحشي، فمن فعل شيئا من هذه المحرمات عليه الإثم والفدية على تفصيل يذكره العلماء. Also the person in ihram doing the hajj or the umrah is prohibited from hunting an edible domestic or wild animal. The one who does any of these activities, he is sinful. He committed sins. And he is obligated to pay the fidya with details that have been mentioned by the scholars that one should acquire. أما من استوفى الأركان والواجبات واجتنب الجماع وكبائر الذنوب وكان ماله الذي أنفقه في الحج مالا حلالا كان حجه مبرورا كما ذكر في حديث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من حج فلم يرفث أي لم يجامع ولم يفسق خرج من ذنوبه كيوم ولدته أمه. So dear brothers, the one who performs the arkan of the hajj, all of them, and all the requisites of the hajj, and avoids the jima', the intercourse, and the big sins, avoids them, and his source of money that he used was from halal, that he spent on al-hajj was halal, then his hajj will be valid and accepted, and he will be considered among those whom the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned. So the following hadith will apply on him, inshallah, which means whomever the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith, whomever performs the hajj and does not copulate or have intercourse or commit any of the prohibitions of the hajj, then he will be out of his sins like the day he was born. So he will be sinless. His sins will be forgiven like the day he was born without any sins. اللهم ارزقنا الحج والعمرة واجعله مكفرا لذنوبنا وارزقنا زيارة الحبيب المصطفى وشفاعته يوم لا ينفع مال ولا بنون إلا من أتى الله بقلب سليم. هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فيا فوز المستغفرين استغفر الله. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونشكره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد الصادق الوعد الأمين وعلى إخوانه النبيين والمرسلين، ورضي الله عن أمهات المؤمنين وآل البيت الطاهرين وعن الخلفاء الراشدين أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي، وعن الأئمة المهتدين أبي حنيفة ومالك والشافعي وأحمد، وعن الأولياء والصالحين. أما بعد عباد الله، فإني أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله العلي العظيم، فاتقوه حق تقاته. Dear brothers, again I urge you to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to fulfill your obligations as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered and as our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught according to his teachings and his sunnah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I urge you not to neglect providing teachers for your family and children, especially the obligatory matters of the religion and the matters of the aqidah. وَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَكُمْ بِأَمْرٍ عَظِيمٍ أَمَرَكُمْ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالسَّلَامِ عَلَى نَبِيِّهِ الْكَرِيمِ فَقَالَ وَهُوَ أَصْدَقُ الْقَائِلِينَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم إنا دعوناك فاستجب لنا دعاءنا، فاغفر اللهم لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات، اللهم وألهمنا عمل الخير ووفقنا إليه وكره إلينا الشرور واعصمنا من مقارفتها يا رب العالمين. اللهم اجعلنا هداة مهتدين غير ضالين ولا مضلين. اللهم استر عوراتنا وآمن روعاتنا واكفنا ما أهمنا وقنا شر ما نتخوف وارزقنا حجا مبرورا متقبلا. اللهم اجز الشيخ عبد الله الهرري رحمات الله عليه عنا خيرا، واغفر لنا ولمشايخنا ولمن له حق علينا يا رب العالمين. عباد الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله العظيم يثبكم، واشكروه يزدكم، واستغفروه يغفر لكم، واتقوه يجعل لكم من أمركم مخرجا. وأقم الصلاة.